It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today we're looking at the work being done to help the neediest at this time of year, from the work of Pittsburgh Steeler Will Allen and his foundation to the Salvation Army. We're speaking with those who exemplify the spirit of giving. The lack of a state budget is affecting food banks at this time of year when the need for donations increases. Joining us to discuss how the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank is dealing with the challenge is Food Bank CEO Lisa Scales. Lisa, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Also taking part in the discussion is Jay Poliziani. He is Executive Director of Northside Common Ministries, which runs a food bank which does not receive government funding. Jay, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh. If you're looking for ways to help food banks in your community, you can call with questions about how to do that. What are you seeing? What donations have you made? How are people in your community helping food banks? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Lisa Scales, what has the level of donations been for the food bank this year?
Well, our corporate donations are lagging because of a delay in the release of state tax credit program, and that's being held up by the state budget impasse. But in terms of individual donors, we have been overwhelmed with the support from individuals. It has far exceeded our expectations.
Have the individuals that have that are coming to you and supporting the work that you do, are they taking note of what's going on at the state level and saying we need to step up just from a community giving standpoint?
They certainly have, Paul. One example is a gentleman who came into the food bank last week to talk about an IRA distribution from his late wife. And when he spoke with us, he was so motivated by the impact the state budget impasse is having on our organization and our member agencies that he decided to set up a six-figure IRA distribution and wants to start to come in and volunteer for the food bank.
Wow, that's tremendous. That has to be tremendously gratifying to you.
It really is. It's about neighbors helping neighbors here in Pittsburgh, and we're so fortunate to have a hands-on mission that people are able to get engaged at that level.
And I don't want to dwell too much on the budget situation, but certainly you and your organization put a face on this crisis. How much has it hurt what you're trying to do? How difficult has it been to pay for the things that you need to pay for that state funding would usually cover?
It's extremely difficult, Paul. This is a challenging time for us and many of our member agencies in our network of food assistance providers. And we're really calling upon the state legislature to pass a budget that includes a significant commitment to helping food insecure Pennsylvanians. And for us, as a food bank, our organization, we are losing $137,000 a month from the state food purchase program, but we're not reducing our services or the food we're distributing. So we're looking to our community members who have donated to us to continue to support the food bank so that we do not have to reduce our food distribution. But we are, that's a loss of $137,000 a month. And at this point, that's over $800,000 that we've fronted because of the impasse in the state budget.
$800,000.
Yes.
Wow. And are more people utilizing the food banks in the region?
More than ever. When I look at the numbers, and the numbers are staggering, just from this year to the previous year, we've seen an increase in the number of children who are food insecure. We've gone from 19% of children to 20%. Almost 98,000 children in southwestern Pennsylvania are food insecure. Overall, 335,000 individuals in southwestern Pennsylvania are food insecure, and that's an increase of 10,000 people from the previous year.
Do we know why that is?
it's many families are struggling. There are many of the people we serve are working sometimes one or two jobs, but they're earning low wages and they're struggling, or they have health issues that have caused them to need to take a step back from their employment, and then that causes them to be in line and need food.
This is a story that we're hearing more and more. Jay Poliziani, are more people utilizing the food banks where you are?
Yes. We operate a food pantry that is supported by the food bank, and we see an increase, especially at this time of year. There's always an increase in December. That's our busiest month, where we'll see 100 people a day, and we operate 3 days a week.
How do you keep up with demand?
Well, the food bank is our primary support. They provide over 80% of the food that we need. The other food is provided through drives and collections and through some fundraising. Recently, we had an incredible experience using Facebook. One of our volunteers, Sue Kerr, put together a Facebook post. The goal was to just get some extra items for the holidays, like cake mixes and brownie mixes.
And I guess the response to this was tremendous.
Overwhelming. It was 6 tons of food in 4 days, as well as $10,000 in donations. We have no more room, and so we are encouraging people to make sure that they're supporting their neighborhood food pantries. People were coming from 4 different counties, dropping off food, collections that they pulled together from their neighborhood and from their businesses. And donations were coming in from as far away as Germany, financial donations. So it was amazing. I had absolutely no idea what the power of Facebook was until this experience.
Right. I was going to ask you, how has social media changed the dynamic of how you bring in donations? But I think you might have just answered that.
Yeah. Traditional media has always been extremely helpful, and letting people know that at certain times of year we are hit a little harder. But social media had power that I had no expectations of. I personally hardly ever check my Facebook page except on my birthday to see who said happy birthday.
I'm the same way.
but apparently lots of people are on there. So,
right.
Which is great.
So really what the difference is that, there's always been the media that you could go to or turn to get the word out. But this is completely the impact of this is more immediate and probably more wide reaching.
Yeah. So and the great part is we'll have a expanded donor base on a regular basis, because during the summer, most agencies like ours don't have as much money coming in. This is the time of year where people are extremely generous and really excited. People doing all kinds of great things, helping out and really pitching in.
You don't get state funding for your food pantry, so the budget situation hasn't impacted you quite the same way, I'm guessing, as it has the food bank, or by association, I guess maybe it has.
Well, it has affected us. Yes, by association, the food pantry is affected. But also, the food pantry is only one thing that Northside Common Ministries operates. We also operate one of the 3 men's homeless shelters in the city, and that has been dramatically affected by the state budget. We're part of a larger organization, Goodwill of Southwestern PA, and they're helping make sure that we're staying open. But
what's been the impact of the shelter?
Well, at this point, we're from part of a larger organization, and they've been able to manage that for us.
So you haven't had to turn anybody away?
We haven't turned anyone away, no. But if we were separate and on our own, I think that we would have a much different story to tell at this point.
But there are also the challenges of not having the direct state funding, right? And
yes.
And what are the challenges that result from that?
With our shelter, it's very difficult because we have to really make sure that we're very careful about the overtime, and we need a lot of overtime. With staff is limited, and we also have to be very careful about the supplies that we're using and asking for the community to help provide some of those supplies as opposed to buying them.
And how have donations been this year?
Well, the food pantry donations, again, have been overwhelming. Mm-hmm. 6 tons of food in just a few days. So that's been incredible. Donations, monetary, have also been pretty consistent with last year, maybe a little bit better. I think people may be realizing that we are impacted. Generally, whenever we put out a call for whatever the item is, people come through. It's amazing. People are really looking to do the right thing, and people are amazingly good. I can just say that we need underwear for the men in the shelter, and bags come in 2 days later. So it's people want to do the right thing. They just need a little bit of help and guidance.
And I was talking with Lisa about this, but are we seeing a greater need than we have in years past?
Yes, I think the need is constantly increasing. Numbers in our pantry are up, and the shelter is full every night of the year without exception. So the need is still there, and it's people do get turned away because we don't have any more space in the shelter.
What can you tell us about the people that show up that need shelter? What kinds of stories? The extent that you can talk about it.
Yeah.
What are the stories behind the faces of the people who end up in your shelter?
You know, any night during the winter, we're serving between 30 and 32 men, and the vast majority of them are working, and they come to
they're
us.
They're working.
They are working. Yes, they're working, and they're looking for work, but you know, many of them are working, and they come to us because we have some flexibility around hours, and they can come in late if they need to because of work situations. And they're really trying to do the right thing, and they're saving their money so that they can move out. And we hear lots of good stories when the guys leave. It's really gratifying when they come back and let us know that they got an apartment. And we have a wall of fame where we can put their name on the wall, letting people know that they are currently housed. So, yeah, it's a lot of men. It's not who you think it is.
You know,
people with advanced degrees, who just came upon hard times for one reason or another.
What does it say about where we are with our society that people who are educated, who are working, are ending up in a men's shelter because they have no other place to go on a cold night?
Well, one little incident can totally turn your life around. You know, it would be wonderful if we all had enough money saved, like the financial counselors say, to manage through a year, but most of us don't really. So you know, it's... And that's the case with the men that we work with. One thing happens and they lose their business, they lose their family, they have nothing. And then they have a few months to get it back together while they're in a shelter. And hopefully they're able to work with the staff and reach that goal.
You know, I think it's a worthwhile exercise for all of us to put ourselves in the place of these men. You know, what it would be like to arrive at your door. When a man shows up there, if I were to show up there, what could I expect? What would I be getting from you?
Well, the immediate thing would be a place to stay, a safe place to stay for up to 4 months. That's what the
regulations are. What does that include?
Well, you have a bed, a storage area.
What kind of a bed?
It's a cot, and you're sleeping in a room with 25 other men. You know, you're not getting a lot of sleep because there's 25 men snoring, so it's a little hard. You get your shower, your laundry done. You can do your laundry. You're assigned a chore, and you get two meals a day within the facility, and then we work with you on employment search. We have an employment program.
Are there computers there that people can use?
There are, yes. There are multiple computers, and there are staff who actually look for jobs and then staff who work with them on looking at housing. There's a clinic there. Doctors, Healthcare for the Homeless comes in 3 times a week and offers free help. Mission Vision comes in several times a year and offers glasses to anyone. And they can also utilize the services of our tax preparation service during tax season. So we work with them as comprehensively as possible to try to help get them ready for living out in the community again. We have a volunteer. Her name's Jennifer. She comes in every Wednesday night. She's a life coach nurse, and she works with the men on stress reduction techniques because getting a house and getting a job is not the hard part. It's keeping the house and keeping the job. That's harder because
being homeless would be pretty stressful.
Exactly. So she works with them on how do we help them be more stable and ready when they leave.
Talk about how the Muslim Association of Pittsburgh reached out to you in this time of so much tension being directed at and toward the American Muslim community because of the, you know, how it's been associated with ISIS, you know, and a lot of it is incorrect assumptions on people's part. So there's this unfortunate negative view that some have of Muslims in America and in the Pittsburgh area. The Muslim Association of Pittsburgh really reached out to you, didn't they?
They did. It was completely on their own. They called us. They're not a member of our organization. We have about 60 churches that sponsor our organization. They're all Christian. So that made it even more special and more beautiful. And they just reached out and said that they wanted to help, that they saw Facebook again, and they wanted to do something to help. And they, in 2 days, managed to collect over $1,000 cash, which was wonderful because we were out of storage space, but we can always store cash. And we were able to...
Yes, we can always store cash.
We can use that in the summer.
Sure.
But it was wonderful. And the stories that they were telling while we were standing there were amazing. You know, about the one woman's 9-year-old daughter hearing that this is what they were going to do. And she said, "Great, Mom, this is wonderful. They won't think of us as ISIS anymore." Mm. And, you know, the stories of these children getting called terrorists in school. But then there were also wonderful stories. One woman whose neighbors all know that she's Muslim, when this story started coming out, several neighbors came over to her house and told her, "We're here and we're behind you. So if anyone gives you trouble, make sure you get in touch with us." So there are Pittsburghers out there doing really good things, hopefully overshadowing some of the negative stuff that's happening.
What a great story, and what a great story to hear at this time of year. We're just about out of time. So very quickly, what do people, Lisa and Jay, what do people need to do if they want to donate?
Well,
you first, Lisa.
Great. And so in terms of food items, we're looking for toiletries, deodorant, shampoo, toothpaste, tuna fish, peanut butter. Please call the food bank, 412-460-3663, and we can direct you to a pantry in your neighborhood for you to donate those essential items.
Okay. Jay, anything you want to add?
And I want to back that up and say that donate to the pantries in your neighborhood. We have been really blessed and really pleased with all the people coming to help us, but now it's time to make sure that these other pantries have as much food as possible.
Food and funds.
Funds, yes.
Yes, the basics.
Cash
yes.
is easier to store.
Cash is easier to store, but all the basic staples that one would need. We've been talking with Lisa Scales, who is the CEO of the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, and also Jay Poliziani, Executive Director of the Northside Common Ministries. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Paul. Our pleasure.
Coming up, Steelers safety Will Allen on the work of his foundation. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.